This is KUAF 91.3 FM. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And this is Ozarks at Large.
Support for KUAF comes from the Rogers Historical Museum and To Cap It All Off, which explores a variety of hats worn from the late 19th century through the 1960s. Pieces include the 1960s pillbox to a Shriner's Fez, plus hat boxes and other accessories. Located on South 2nd Street in the Rogers Historic District, 621-1154 or rogersarkansas.com/museum for more information.
Support for KUAF comes from contributing listeners and from Northwest Arkansas Media, publishers of the Northwest Arkansas Times, the Springdale and Rogers Morning News, Benton County Daily Record, and the Northwest Arkansas edition of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. All offer local shopping opportunities through NWA Deal Piggy and Ozark Deal Piggy. Registration and more information available online at nwadealpiggy.com.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large, the annual Arkansas poll sheds some light on how the state's residents feel about the direction of Arkansas, the upcoming elections, and more. We'll talk with the director of the poll, Janine Perry. And a new cookbook gathers top recipes from a Fayetteville church congregation and offers an indication of how Northwest Arkansas has changed.
Plus, Roby Brock with his weekly recap of business and political news in Arkansas. This is the on-air edition of our fall fundraiser at KUAF, and it is a simple process. We remind you that because of your contributions in the past and now, we're able to bring you programs such as Ozarks at Large, All Things Considered, and Talk of the Nation. It's difficult for any one of us to truly gauge the state of the economy. That's agreed. So we find ourselves turning to trusted sources for advice on how to invest or spend our hard-earned paychecks. Public radio's economic news range from Planet Money to the Business Report every morning on Morning Edition. A Pew Research poll last year found that NPR was America's most trusted source of news. So it's absolutely no wonder that you depend on KUAF for quality information about the state of the economy. As you choose your investments, we're asking you to consider an investment in your public radio station, KUAF. Your annual contribution will be returned in news and information you can use that informs you and helps you make decisions with your life. You can contribute online at supportkuaf.com. You can also call us 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-KUAF. And thank you.
Yes, and we would like to specifically thank one of our callers, Linda from Winslow. Thank you so much. And we're still working on a challenge for new members from the Hartman family, Evie, Rosa, and Sylvie. I heard Rick talking about them this morning, and I think he's correct in saying Sylvie's probably our youngest listener, about 2 months, maybe 3 months old now. Yeah. So the way that a challenge works, and this challenge is for $1,000, is we need to collect up to $1,000, and the Hartman family, the Hartman girls, will match that pledge, so it is worth $2,000 for us. So if you've never given and you've kind of been waiting to do that, now might be the perfect time because it will essentially double your contribution.
Now, it started at $1,000.
It started at $1,000, yes.
But we have made significant inroads on that $1,000 challenge. It's what now, $330
to go. Yes, that's it. That's all that's left.
So $330 combined from brand new contributors.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be 11 people at $33.
Yes.
No, 10 at 33
Well,
bucks.
10, yes, I'm sorry.
We'll take 11 at 33.
We will take 11.
10 at 33 would be the proper amount, yes. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Online at supportkuaf.com.
If you want to read one of the many news magazines each week, you buy a subscription. If you want to have the newspaper delivered to your door each day, you pay the price. KUAF has consistently brought you insightful, informative news of events from around our country and around the world, and even with Ozarks at Large here in our listening area. It may seem like it comes to you free of charge, but it is paid for with the contributions of those who listen. So please take a moment right now and do your fair share by calling KUAF with a pledge of support. We're not asking one person to pay for all of the costs that we have here at KUAF. We're asking for everybody a group of members to contribute, because together we can get the amount that we need to pay for all of our costs, all of our bills, and the things that we need to do to keep KUAF on the air and keep bringing you programs that you like Ozarks at Large or Talk of the Nation, All Things Considered, Morning Edition, all of those. Your contribution is essential in paying for the news you use every day. So if you want to keep the news on KUAF, please give us a call with your pledge of support at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. You can also pledge online anytime at supportkuaf.com.
And once again, the new contributor challenge that started at $1,000 earlier today, now down to $330. So if you've never contributed before but want to, this is a chance for your pledge of up to $330 being doubled. Again, the numbers.
800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. Construction of the new Rogers Sports Complex and Aquatic Center are moving steadily along. Barney Hayes, director of the city's Parks and Recreation Department, says a drier-than-normal summer helped move construction along. Once construction wraps up on the aquatic park next spring, and after the sports complex is complete later this year, attendance at both parks will increase revenues in the city.
We anticipate having 1,200 participants a day at the Aquatic Center, and then our league adult softball teams will use the sports park during the weekdays, and then with the weekends we'll be trying to solicit tournament play, and what that will dovetail into is additional dollars for these weekend tournaments for our hospitality folks, our hotels, motels, our hamburgers, people buying goods when they're here, commercial goods.
Hayes says the first tournament scheduled for the sports park is the Stowball Classic, set to take place during the last week of January.
Arkansas's child welfare system is moving in the right direction 4 years after receiving poor reviews from the federal government. That's according to Governor Mike Beebe, who in his weekly radio address Friday said the state meets or exceeds every goal that was outlined in its federal program improvement plan.
The reward for this hard work is better lives for more Arkansas children. The percentage of children being adopted rather than staying in foster care has gone from 33% of the cases seen during the 2008 review to 68%. In fact, in the last fiscal year, Arkansas finalized a record 674 adoptions. By finding stable homes for these children instead of moving them from foster home to foster home, we've given them certainty and consistency that they can use as a foundation for success in life.
Governor Beebe also said the number of foster children who maintain relationships with their biological families has increased from 48% to 70%, and that 12,000 Arkansas children receive services from the state's Department of Child and Family Services in any given month.
Steinway pianos are the preferred instrument of many concert pianists worldwide. Since 2010, the University of Arkansas is one of only 145 schools in the world committed to providing only Steinway pianos for students and faculty to use in training their fingers and ears. This morning, the university announced that the All Steinway School Initiative at the college has received additional support in the form of a $100,000 gift from the estate of Odell and Catherine Fry. According to the university's press release, the gift was dedicated to the university following the Frys' death last year, and considering the couple's love of music, the bequest was dedicated to the Steinway Initiative. The Steinway Model B Grand Piano will reportedly be placed in the office of Yura Margulis, who is the inaugural holder of the Emily J. McAllister Endowed Professorship in Piano and an internationally recognized pianist.
Arkansas volleyball defeated Missouri in three sets yesterday at Barnhill Arena. Arkansas is now 18-6 overall and 9-4 in the SEC. The Razorbacks next play at Auburn and Texas A&M on the road Friday and Sunday. The Arkansas soccer team is back in the SEC tournament this afternoon after an absence since 1999. Arkansas, the seventh seed, faces number 10 seed South Carolina at 4 p.m. The winner meets Texas A&M Wednesday at noon in Orange Beach, Alabama. Tonight's weather forecast calls for clear conditions with a low in the 30s. Tomorrow expects sunny skies with a high in the upper 60s to lower 70s. And tomorrow night expects clear skies with a low ranging from about 36 to 42 degrees.
I'm Roby Brock with your Talk Business Update, a recap of the biggest business and political headlines of the last week. Arkansas's unemployment rate fell 0.2% in September to 7.1% as the civilian labor force and number of unemployed fell. The 7.1% number is a full percentage point below September 2011, and it moves the state closer to ending its 44-month streak of unemployment hovering above 7%. In Arkansas, the civilian labor force shrunk by 2,700 from August to September, but it's actually grown by 7,300 workers since September of the previous year. Pico Foods announced it will expand a feed mill in Newark and a processing plant in Batesville, both in Independence County. The expansions will add 300 jobs to the two plants, bringing total employment in the region to 866. In addition, the company plans to invest a new $13.8 million in the two facilities. Pico Foods is the eighth largest poultry processor in the U.S. It's earnings season in Arkansas. Simmons First National Corporation posted net income of $6.8 million for the third quarter. That is down from $7.3 million 1 year ago. Net income for the 9 months ended September 30th was $19.7 million, and that is higher than the $19.1 million posted in the comparable period for 2011. Simmons said that some of the quarter's decline could be attributed to a decrease in non-interest income, which includes fees on transactions, bank accounts, and overdraft charges. Timber and real estate firm Deltic Timber saw its third quarter profits more than quadruple from 1 year ago, as rising sales from its mill segment boosted earnings. The El Dorado-based company reported quarterly net income of $3.2 million on revenue of more than $36 million. Taneytown-based PAM Transportation posted third-quarter net income of $880,000. That's better than the $1.7 million net loss it recorded 1 year ago. PAM reported quarterly income of $94.5 million. That was up 6.3% from the previous year. Finally, in new polling information from Talk Business and Hendricks College, just 38% of Arkansans support the medical marijuana initiative on this year's November ballot. 54% oppose, and the remaining 8% are undecided. Now, that is a marked turn from late July, when support and opposition was nearly even at 47% to 46%, according to our Talk Business and Hendricks College poll. Also, the temporary half-cent sales tax for highways, known as issue number one this November, is seeing its chances for passage improve. 44.5% say they'll vote for the measure, while 44% said they oppose. And that's a turnaround from July, when 49% were opposed, with just 42% saying they supported it. I'm Roby Brock, and that is your Talk Business Update.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Ahead, Janine Perry, who is the director of the Arkansas Poll, talks about the findings from the 2012 edition of the Arkansas Poll. That's in about 5 or 6 minutes on Ozarks at Large. This is the KUAF On Air Fall Fundraiser. It lasts through, well, Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
October
31st.
That's right. The entire month of October, our fundraising month. Many people sent in contributions early through
yes.
the mail, and we appreciate that. And for the past few days, we've been on the air reminding you that it is your financial contribution that keeps KUAF and all the programs you enjoy on the air. 800-522-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
And we'd like to thank Philip Kevin Murphy of Fayetteville, a new member. Thank you so much for your contribution. And as Kyle mentioned, we've been collecting money this month for our fall fundraising campaign, and we are closing in on $122,000.
That's great.
I know. I'm very excited about that. I think this is going very well. Knock on wood.
Yes.
As we are trying to reach our goal of $160,000. Special coverage means extra costs. It can be as simple as the cost of transporting a reporter to the place where news is happening. It can be as complex as putting in telephone lines or establishing a satellite link to bring you coverage of a significant event. At Ozarks at Large, we've done a couple of live shows during the last year. When Crystal Bridges opened, we had a two-hour live show from there.
Yes, we did. First from the square and almost all.
And then we went mobile. Right. We walked and interviewed people along the trail to the museum.
Right.
And then, let's see, a couple months ago, in the end of August, we had a live show from the library, Fayetteville Public Library.
Right. It was the first day of the Roots Festival. We had a live studio audience. We had David Grisman live on the air, the Steel Wheels live on the air.
Still on the Hill, and Jay Wagner also were there with us. But to be able to do that, as I mentioned, you know, costs a little extra. We had to get some special equipment.
Right.
So.
And we would like to do more of those.
Oh, absolutely.
I have ideas.
I'm sure you do.
I have many ideas.
I'm sure you do. But the point of this is special coverage of news, breaking news, or doing special shows like that. It can be expensive because you need the extra equipment. You need the extra people because you need lots of hands on deck for that. These events have a huge effect on your life, and knowing about them makes a difference in how you go about your daily business. We pay for them with the contributions of listeners like you. So won't you call now with your financial contribution? You can call 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. You can also pledge online anytime at supportkuaf.com.
And as we have mentioned many, many times during this fundraiser, contributions can be made in any level. We have no minimum level. The average pledge is about $104, but you best know what you can afford. So it is completely up to you. I do want to mention one level of giving that, while not for everybody, is certainly a possibility. We do have the NPR Society. You can become a major donor to KUAF by joining the NPR Society. That's a financial contribution of KUAF of $1,000 or more. And if you have any more questions about the NPR Society or pledging $1,000, you can call us at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. And we do appreciate all contributions. We have had all sorts of totals during this fundraiser. And that's what makes a fundraiser successful, is when people estimate the value of KUAF in their lives and examine their budget, know what they can give, and then do so. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823 or supportkuaf.com. But if you are interested in giving at the level of the NPR Society, you can give us a call as well. If you have any questions about that, we can answer those questions. 800-522-5823 or supportkuaf.com. Listening to KUAF is a constant state of curiosity and discovery. Sometimes it's discovery of music you may not know about. With the Roots Festival, as we mentioned, David Grisman and Steel Wheels, Still on the Hill, Jay Wagner, all performed live. And Jay Wagner then later came back.
He did, and I got to talk to him when he was in town, I guess, a month later for a show here in Fayetteville and a show in Eureka Springs. But I had not heard of him prior to that. So, and when I heard him, he came graciously and performed at our show across the street at the library. I really enjoyed his music.
And so then he's a Texas guy.
Austin-based.
Right. And so when he was coming back around for a house concert in Eureka Springs, we asked if he would come by for an Ozarks at Large taping, and he did.
And he did.
That's one of the reasons you listen to KUAF a bit, to learn and hear something new. So think of your contribution as an investment in continuing education. An investment that you determine the amount of. Just like you might purchase a book at a bookstore to learn more or pay for a class, your contribution supports your lifelong education through KUAF. And it might be time for you to make a tuition payment. Again, the great thing here is you determine the amount of your tuition. You can call right now to renew your contribution or perhaps a first-time ever contribution that's an investment in your lifelong education. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also support us online at supportkuaf.com, and thank you.
You mentioned new members. We still have that challenge from the Hartman family. Evie Rosa and Sylvie Hartman have issued a challenge for $1,000 to new members. Been working on that since a little after 8 o'clock this morning, and we've gotten it down to $230 left. That's it.
All right. So $230 in new contributions, first-time contributions, will mean then an additional $1,000 to KUAF.
Absolutely. So it's worth $2,000 for us, getting us that much closer to our goal of $160,000.
So if we could have $230 in new contributions in the next 20 minutes or so, you throw that in, then with the $1,000 from the challenge, we're going to be closing in on $123,000 raised.
Absolutely.
That's how a successful fundraiser goes. You start to build that momentum here in the last few days. This is the fundraiser goes through the 31st Wednesday, but we're on track now. Mm-hmm. To continue to stay on track, we need to hear from you if we haven't yet. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823.
Also online at supportkuaf.com.
And thank you.
BB, really, since we've been clocking him, has been at 70%.
You know what? I'm going to start this again because I didn't read the introduction to that story, and people didn't know what...
They want to know what that is.
That's right. See, this is live radio.
This is live radio.
Here we go. This time of year, especially in election year, a poll is seemingly released every few minutes. But one poll, the Arkansas poll, takes the temperature specifically of Arkansas residents about their opinions. The 2012 edition, released late last week, shows the state's residents are most concerned about the economy, will vote heavily in favor of Mitt Romney over Barack Obama, and may give the proposed sales tax to benefit highway projects and approval. Janine Perry, the director of the Arkansas poll and a professor of political science at the University of Arkansas, came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy news studio last week, and she told me the poll also indicates high marks for Governor Mike Beebe.
Beebe, really, since we've been clocking him, has been at 70% or above, and this year was no exception. I think it's debatable in given years, but from what I can tell, the data I've seen, it makes him the most popular governor in the country. And, you know, it really especially stands out for a couple of reasons, but one of them is, especially during an election cycle, you know, elected politicians usually feel glad to get above 50%. So to, you know, not only go over that hurdle, but by so far is really notable, and he did it again this year.
But he's a Democrat in a state that's increasingly Republican. We may have a Republican legislature.
Yeah, I think that's also really interesting. When you look at some of the other data, actually in the poll for the last couple of years, and you look at the election results in addition, and you hear about some of the polling that's happening right now, it certainly looks like the state is experiencing a rightward shift. So for this Democratic governor in this rightward shifting state to do so well also, I think, is remarkable. But my own thought about it is that he is doing what Democrats have done for decades in Arkansas while other southern states were shifting to the right, which is he's still very good at retail politics. He speaks in a very plain way, a way about education, about economics. He sticks to the bread and butter issues. He just really doesn't seem to engage anyone in those hot button social issues. And I think for that reason, people just trust him. You know, you look at him, you listen to his voice, and you say, well, you know, he's no Barack Obama, he's no Nancy Pelosi. He's one of us, and therefore he's okay, even if he's a D, which I think is super interesting.
Speaking of hot-button social issues, you asked about a couple of those in this year's poll.
We did. So a question we haven't asked a lot of times, we asked in other occasions when it hadn't qualified for the ballot, when they didn't have enough signatures, but is the medical marijuana issue. And while it looks like it'll lose, I think the fact that it's polling over 40% support is really significant, because folks have been trying to, you know, usually nonprofit groups, very grassroots for the most part. They've been trying to qualify this thing for the ballot since I've been in Arkansas, so at least 14, 15 years. And the fact that they qualified it and then stand to get at least 40% of the vote, I think suggests that they'll get some attention from national groups, that they'll probably go for it again. And I think if they have any sense, the proponents of the measure will probably tighten up those dispensaries, which seems to be what even, you know, some of the proponents are a little queasy about, maybe tighten up some of those restrictions and make another run at it. So what this year's poll says to me about the medical marijuana issue is that this isn't over.
There's still, as you and I sit here and talk, a week and a half until election. With some of these things that are so close, could there be a shift? Could a massive campaign change things? Or have people by now pretty much figured out where they're going to be?
I think on most issues by this point, people have figured out where they're going to be. You know, I think Mitt Romney will win the state by at least 20 points. You know, people are already voting. They've made up their minds. There's really no campaign by either candidate here. So I don't think that will change. Every once in a while on those ballot measures, you'll see sort of a late-breaking campaign, if you will. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's kind of a sore spot for us. But in 2008, on Initiated Act 1, which had to do with cohabitating unmarried partners,
right,
and fostering an adoption of foster children, a campaign went into full gear right after we came out of the field. So I'm not hearing any noises about that on any of the ballot measures that either of the ballot measures that we tested this year. But I always think that it's still a possibility, you know, so it remains out there.
The highway tax, which, you know, 6 months ago, it didn't seem dead in the water, but it seemed like there was an uphill climb for it. And now? it looks like it has a shot at passing.
I think it does have a shot. We got, 53% of our very likely voters saying that they approved of the measure. There was, a small percentage of don't knows, and then something like 43% saying they disapproved of the measure. So I think it has a good shot. I'm not ready to say I'm super confident about it, and partly because the margin of error for our poll is plus or minus 3.5 percentage points, so that's right in there. But also because in the end, it's always an anti-tax environment. Sure, the economy's turning around, but it's doing it slowly. So I don't feel super confident about it, but it is pretty remarkable, I think, in terms of the pitch that elites have been making and perhaps just the familiarity with the state of the roads that a lot of Arkansans have, that they're certainly willing to consider it, and that's what we see reflected this year.
After the first Arkansas poll, we had a conversation, and you said at some point cell phones were going to really start to change how polling works. Has that happened?
It has definitely happened, which is why we, like other pollsters, are upping the number of the interviews that we complete by cell phone users, and we actually have a more specialized screen this year. It wasn't just, have we reached you on a cell phone, but it was, are you either a cell phone exclusive or a cell phone mostly cell phone user? We're doing that for a lot of different reasons. One is, as a lot of your listeners will know, Arkansas, because it's a poor state, has a disproportionate percentage of its citizens who are using cell phones only. The other reason we do it is, of course, a lot of young people are particularly in that group, and our poll tends to be very high in terms of the age groups that are represented, higher than average, right, compared to the demographics of the state. So this is one way to kind of pull that back down and reach out to some of those busier, on-the-move, younger voters. So this time we did 20% of our completes were done by cell. And I imagine we'll just continue to up that every year because it's significant.
More people rank the economy number one as the big concern. That's not a surprise, but it was what was second? It was a distant second.
A distant second. Almost always it's the economy, healthcare, and education. But this was the second or third year in a row, which should come as no surprise in this economy, that the economy just blew everything else out of the water. Education and healthcare both being a distant second, and then almost everything after that falling into the single digits.
What will you do now? Okay, the poll's out there. And then November 7th, I imagine as the results are coming in the night of November 6th, you're kind of watching and...
Oh, absolutely. You always kind of hold your breath and there's... a little bit of wishing, right, that you got it right. We've been really lucky, though, and that just has to do with our call center for a long time, the survey research center that we used on campus for 12 years, and then the two different vendors we've gone to contract out. With the death of the Survey Research Center, they have really done it. They've done us justice. And again, with the exception of the 2008 blowing it there on Initiated Act 1, we've come remarkably close. And I think it's because they just really use best practices. We're using live calls. If we don't get someone at home, we don't move directly to the next number, so we don't, burn through a lot of telephone numbers. The reason for that is...
Okay, so if you called me at home and I didn't answer, you got my machine or it just rang...
Right. We call you back up to maybe 5 or 6 times, and you're welcome, by the way, Kyle. but the reason we do that, right, is that what we find empirically is that there's a certain kind of person who's more likely to be home, and there's a certain kind of person who's less likely to be home, and we don't want our results to just reflect the opinions of the type of person who is home, if that makes sense.
How many different factors are there? How many layers go into this to make sure you've got a sample that you feel comfortable with? I mean, if you're worried about who's home, who's not.
Right.
I thought it was D versus R, likely voters to not likely voters.
Well, I think in many polling situations it is, but because the Arkansas poll does only a tiny bit of election prediction and everything else is really supposed to be about public policy preferences and patterns over time, we still really are trying to use the gold standard of randomization. How many ways can we try to reach out to all different kinds of individuals in Arkansas so that we can really take the pulse of the state in the way that we imagined it from the beginning?
You also, let's see, didn't you take the pulse this year on gay marriage with Arkansans?
We did. I think this is the third time. It's not consecutive years, but we have a question we've been using for some time. There's not a lot of movement in it. We're not moving in at the same rate, right, as the rest of the country. But if you take marriage and civil unions together, it approaches something like 40% of the Arkansas population is willing to extend, some degree of marriage equality that way, which I think is interesting. But in general, we just see a lot of status quo here, which is not what we're seeing nationally. So that's one way I think that we remain somewhat distinctive.
politicians, public policy people will usually praise a poll if it shows that people agree with them, and will question the validity of a poll if it shows that people disagree with them. Do you have any anecdotes of knowing how people use the poll, not in public, not denouncing it or praising it, but getting it and figuring out, like, keep Medicaid in the 2012 Arkansas poll was more than expand Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Do you know of instances where people behind closed doors have looked at these and said, okay, we've got to change a message or do a better job?
I do. And I think without revealing too much, I think that in one of the ones this year, I know that some of the interest groups involved in one of the policy debates, you know, did some of their messaging around trying to figure out what that means. In the past, well, this is sort of a related example. Maybe about 3 or 4 years into doing the poll, we started having individuals from the offices of high up elected officials calling to see when the results would be released. They knew better than to ask for a preview. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't party specific. It wasn't individual specific. But I thought, oh, OK, well, people are paying attention. And that's pretty gratifying.
Have you ever had a situation in your polling experience where something's coming back and you think, wow, it just is surprising, and then you kind of get a funny feeling in your stomach, like, is this, are we doing this right?
Or? Right. I would actually say initiated Act 1, the cohabitating one, was one where I just thought, I don't think that this is probably accurate. And that's when we looked back at the way we worded the measure. And the wording is so important, and yet it's so difficult because you have a very small number of words you can use in order to convey it clearly on the phone to somebody who's trying to make dinner, you know, while you're talking to them. So in that case, what we did was what we usually try to do, which is capture the essence of how people would experience the measure on the ballot. And the ballot that year made only reference to unmarried cohabitating partners. It said nothing about gays and lesbians. But then right after we left the field, the proponents of the ban on fostering and adoption by these cohabitating unmarried partners, you know, released, I think they said they did about 400,000 flyers the Sunday before the election in church parking lots on windshields. So they made it about, you know, what I think it largely was about for the proponents, whereas my phone call, my question didn't capture that. So that was one probably where I had some doubts in the beginning.
Well, but don't you have to be very careful about how you ask, right? No matter what the question is.
Most definitely. I know one of the programs y'all run that I love on the media does some great stuff with this all the time about the significance of language in reporting, in political rhetoric, and how sophisticated parties and their surrogates and candidates have become in using political rhetoric, which will then shape the nature of the debate. I mean, I'm convinced now, people have been talking about this for a long time, but you really can't ask a good question on abortion, for example. There's really no language you can use to accurately capture, I think, the nuance to a lot of people's position on that issue. So, and that's just one of many. You know, something I've gotten into some squabbles with some of the local editors, some of the state editors about, also immigration, I think, is falling into that same area. Are these people, should we refer to individuals who may not be here legally as, you know, undocumented immigrants? Should we refer to them as illegal aliens? You know, anymore, both of those are value laden. So if mm-hmm. I use one or the other, I'm kind of tipping my hand and probably shaping your response. So that's the trickiest thing we come across every year. Sometimes the very words are inadequate.
Can a poll, any poll, end up wagging the dog? I mean, if a poll comes out that it's candidate Wilson is far ahead of candidate Jones, mm-hmm. can that...
I don't know. Somebody asked me that recently. I suspect there are examples of that. It's very difficult to prove empirically because there are so many other factors, right, in a busy election cycle. There's a piece of me, to return to that open wound that is initiated Act 1 of 2008.
This is sticking with you.
It really is. There's a piece of me that wonders whether or not us releasing the poll 2.5 weeks or so before the election date, showing that it had a chance of being defeated, that's what we showed that mm-hmm. was incorrect, it had a chance of being defeated, and maybe even was likely to be defeated, might not have gotten the attention of the proponents of the ban and mobilized them in a way they might not otherwise have been mobilized. There's not really a way for me to control that, but am I mindful of it in election years? I most definitely am.
If people want to see the Arkansas poll, they can go online?
They can. I think the easiest thing to do for me is just to Google Google in quotes the Arkansas poll, we almost always come up first, unless there's been some sort of sports incident and a Arkansas and poll appear repeatedly together.
Of course.
But otherwise, we're there, and I think that's the easiest thing for folks to do.
Janine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Janine Perry is the director of the Arkansas poll. The 2012 poll results were released late last week.
This is Ozarks at Large, and this is our fall fundraiser. Just a reminder that it is you, our listeners, who are the biggest contributors to KUAF, and you are the most important part of keeping us on the air. So if you would like to do your part and pledge your financial support, you can do so right now at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. If you happen to be streaming us online, you can also pledge there at supportkuaf.com.
And in just a few minutes on this edition of Ozarks at Large, Full Plate, a brand new cookbook that is very much Northwest Arkansas-centric, the story behind it and the story of what's inside that cookbook coming up in just a couple of minutes on Ozarks at Large. We are right in the middle of our fall on-air fundraiser. I'm hoping you're going to take time to show your support for public radio and Ozarks at Large and KUAF if you haven't already done so by making a financial contribution in any amount that you can. Now, you may pay for cable or satellite television. You may pay for internet access. But public radio and KUAF comes to you free of charge. And I want you to think for a moment how much you get from KUAF. News, features, entertainment, Prairie Home Companion. What do you know? This American Life, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, on the media. Of note, with Katie Hendrickson, Ozarks at Large, that's just the beginning. If you are a regular KUAF listener and what you hear keeps you informed and entertained, I hope you'll take just a moment to show your support and appreciation by making a call and making a financial contribution. I do appreciate you listening. You can call 800-522-5823. Or 575-5823. You can also support us online at supportkuaf.com.
And this is very much a group effort, and we would like to thank our volunteers, our phone volunteers. I know I saw Gina King out there this morning. Also, all of the local restaurants that have been helping keep those volunteers as well as the staff fed. This morning breakfast was A Bon Pon on the U of A campus. There's some U.S. pizza out there that I'm
eventually
really excited to get eventually. And several other local restaurants. So a big thank you to everyone who has helped make this a successful fundraiser so far. Also helping make this successful are some of our listeners who have issued challenges. We're still working on a challenge by the Hartman family, Evie, Rosa, and Sylvie. The girls have issued a challenge for new members in the amount of $1,000. We have worked on that since about 8:20 this morning, and we are down to $230 remaining on that.
You can help us meet that. Your first-time contribution will be doubled if you can contribute up to $230. 800-522-5823, 575-5823. Many things that KUAF has to write a check for every year, of course. There's electricity that is needed to keep the transmitter on and the rental at the tower, and also programs that you hear on KUAF. Fresh Air, which, of course, is one of the most popular programs on KUAF, Terry Gross, and those wonderful interviews every Sunday through Friday. Six nights a week, $16,450 a year. That's one program, and that is not one of the more expensive ones. When you start thinking about Morning Edition at $108,000 and All Things Considered at nearly $56,000, you see how the costs add up. Your contribution helps pay for all the programs on KUAF. 800-522-5823 or online at supportkuaf.com. It takes, what, 2 minutes?
Maybe 2 minutes.
All right. And you do not have to be thanked on the air. We certainly appreciate and like to thank people on the air, but that's an option for you as well. Everything is an option. Whether you call, how much you call, how you make the pledge, whether it's credit card, debit card, payroll deduction, and even if we can thank you on the air.
Absolutely. Again, the numbers are 800-522-5823 or 575-5823, also online at supportkuaf.com.
Thank you. Monday, October 29th, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Ace McGrady.
With us on the phone is Becca Martin Brown. She is the features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I'm thinking about hiding till spring.
I like it.
Join me there.
Join me at
5:30 because the free Flicks Before 6 offering at the Fayetteville Public Library is Dark Shadows with Johnny Depp.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Have you not?
No.
The friend that took me was afraid because I was a huge fan of the 60s show. Loved it. It's hilarious.
It's Tim Burton's take on the 1960s soap opera.
And has cameo appearances by Jonathan Frid and some of the other original actors. Jonathan Frid has since passed away.
Right, the last thing he did, actually.
So that's your choice for tonight.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. Just in time for the holidays, a new Northwest Arkansas-centric cookbook, created by the members of a Fayetteville church, delivers hundreds of recipes tested by the parishioners and gives a snapshot of the region's past and present at the same time. The cookbook is titled Full Plate, Generous Servings of Ozark Hospitality, and was a 10-year project by members of St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville. 100% of sales go to support community meals at St. Paul's, where they feed hundreds of people every Monday and Wednesday at lunch. A cookbook release party and tasting is scheduled for Thursday from 5 until 8 at the church. Christine Klinger was a co-chair of the committee that developed the book. She says the initial idea sprang from an appropriate place.
I like to say that a lot of great ideas are stirred up in a kitchen, and this was one of them. In 2001, in the fall, St. Paul's hosted the Episcopal Church Women's Group that met, the whole diocesan group met in the old kitchen, well, in the old parish hall at St. Paul's, and we prepared the luncheon for them in the old kitchen, and I think maybe three of the four burners still worked on the stovetop, and the dishwasher didn't work, and so it was really around food and serving food and hospitality that the idea was sort of bantered about.
So you asked for parishioners and the like to submit recipes, and then people prepared them, but not people who submitted them.
Correct. The committee was one of those that expanded and contracted over time, but one of the rules that we had was if you submitted a recipe, the one that you prepared for our luncheon could not be your own, because it was really important to have somebody else use their cooking eyes to see if the recipe worked for them.
You know, one of the great things about a college town is that it attracts people from all over the country and all over the world. And while you do have some Ozark natives, you have people who've come from everywhere. And when you start flipping through this book, that becomes quite apparent.
It's not just
Ozark cooking here.
Well, I think maybe, not in the traditional sense,
right,
but as the new Ozarks
exactly
are evolving, I think it's very reflective.
So how difficult was it to get from 900 plus to 308?
Well, it was a lot of testing and tasting and a lot of fun. Lowell Grisham, our rector, referred to it as his favorite committee to be on at St. Paul's. And so I think we did evaluations, and we looked at that, the results of those, and just sort of not just the numerical indices, but we all sort of knew, you know, gut feeling whether this would be a recipe that we wanted to include in the cookbook. And we tried to have a balance of recipes that would be easy enough for a beginning cook, but also sort of challenging enough for a more experienced cook. So it was hard. It was a hard job, but somebody had to do it, and we did.
How many people were on the committee over time?
Oh, well, you know, at the beginning of the book, we list people who helped and contributed. I think, it would be really hard for me to say numbers, but I think during this last, the home stretch, it's been about a dozen of us that have stayed committed to it. I think a lot of people got weary and just thought, they're never going to finish this cookbook.
Well, yeah, you mentioned a 10-year process.
Mm-hmm.
Was part of that just inexperience with the publishing world or testing all the recipes? Everyone had other things to do?
I think it was a lot of that. And then life just got in the way. When we were just meeting once a month, it almost seemed for me that we'd barely come up from having had the last one when it would be time to coordinate the second one, or, you know, the following one. Yeah, it just, we're all really, really busy people, and the community of people at St. Paul's are extremely busy cooking on Mondays and Wednesdays for community meals. And so Friday then would roll around, and it would be time to have a monthly cookbook meeting. And it, yeah, we just sort of got sort of stuck in the process, I guess you could say.
Monday and Wednesday community meals at St. Paul. That's what proceeds from this book, yes, will help fund.
Yes, exactly.
What happens on those Monday and Wednesdays?
Well, a free warm, home-cooked, balanced meal is provided to anybody, hungry or homeless, or anyone in need of a meal. When they were building the Three Sisters on Dixon Street, the workers would come and have a meal. So it, we do no screening in terms of, you know, proving your financial need, but it's well-received and often a very packed house.
You mentioned that when this started with the conversations, the old kitchen, the old stove. So that's changed. Different,
yes,
stove.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you've noticed has changed between 2001 and 2012?
Well, yes. I think one of the things that we would say is an advantage of having taken this long to create a cookbook is that the way that we eat as a culture, we talk about slow foods. That's something that we didn't talk about in 2001. And I think that we've gotten some younger parishioners or people involved in the committee that have helped bring some fresh eyes, and I think it's really helped create a better balance. And the cookbook that we have today in 2012, I think is much more current than the one that, say, we had been able to publish it in 2 years would have been.
Great idea to have these sidebars. Every recipe page has a sidebar. Now, some of them are cooking tips, mm-hmm, what's the best temperature for if you're working with beef, but some of them are descriptions of Prairie Grove Battlefield State Park or Crystal Bridges or things like that. That's a wonderful sort of moment in time in Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm glad you appreciate that. When my husband opened the book, he said, wow, this is really two books in one. And I would have to give credit to T. and Roy Fuller for having that vision. I think when I began, I just was thinking of pretty much a spiral-bound cookbook limited to just our church parishioners. But they had gone to a seminar that Wimmer Publishing offered, and they went to Memphis with some other folks and came back very energized about creating a regional cookbook and one that had some local history in it. So it was really T. and Roy Fuller who had that vision.
And there's history of food here, of apple production, mm-hmm, you know, more than a century ago. I'm trying to find this one recipe. This is one that Katie Mahalovich,
yes,
who let me look at her book. She, I think the day she got it, she brought it over so I could look at it beforehand. Mm-hmm. Boston Mountain Hot Chocolate. And the sub-headline on this is absolutely decadent.
And we've tested that. It is indeed.
That has an exclamation, yes, point beside, yeah, it as well. So,
yeah, it is.
November 1st, November, which is a 1st, Thursday, is sort of the book release party.
It's the cookbook debut.
Yes, the cookbook debut.
And a little tasting. We plan that in conjunction with First Thursday and hope that we'll have a great turnout.
You know, other cookbooks I've seen like this that aren't quite as well done and well bound and as pretty, but still they'll have this recipe from so-and-so. There are no credits here for the recipes. They just exist.
Mm-hmm.
And in the front you have people who submitted recipes, mm-hmm, but no one is assigned credit.
Right. Well, that was something that we talked about, and when Wimmer, the publishing company, spoke to us about the trends in cookbooks, that's something that people are getting away from. And because we wanted it to have a more regional appeal, if it had been more of an in-house cookbook, I think there would have been some value to that. So we made the decision not to. But the other thing is quite a few of the recipes may have been similar or submitted by several different people. And so rather than give one person the credit with the recipe, everybody's given credit in the preface.
Christine Klinger was co-chair of the committee that developed the new cookbook, Full Plate, Generous Servings of Ozark Hospitality, produced by members of St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville. Proceeds will benefit community meal projects of the church. A book launch and tasting is scheduled for Thursday from 5 until 8 at the church in downtown Fayetteville. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, and it is the on-air portion of our fall fundraiser. You can contribute in the amount of your choosing to keep great programming on the air on your radio, 800-522-5823. You can also support us online at supportkuaf.com.
Hey, listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Odell.
Odell?
Yes.
Where is Odell?
It is in the southwest corner of Washington County near the Arkansas-Oklahoma border.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it close to?
Nothing really. The border.
Okay.
Evansville.
Oh, Evansville. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just east of there.
All right. And we reach Odell.
We do.
And a lot of other places. If we reach you and you listen to us often, remember that the reason we can bring you the programs is because you have financially contributed, or at least listeners like you have financially contributed. 800-522-5823, supportkuaf.com.
Yes, and we would like to thank one of those contributors right now. A big thanks to Pete Spinato for his contribution.
And don't forget, we're closing in on finishing our new contributor challenge that started at $1,000 a few hours ago, now down to $230. And we're getting close to $122,000 for the overall fundraiser.
Yes, we are. And the reason that we ask for new members, there's a couple of reasons. I mean, we live in a very transient population.
Right.
There's
people,
you know,
move
people
in,
move
but
in,
people move, also move. Move away.
Exactly. So we like to reach out to new people and keep our group of supporters at a level where we can continue to bring our services to everyone who listens to us.
Right. And as the population of Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley grows, costs of the programming increases for us.
Yes.
Just like other costs increase for us throughout the year for our personal lives at KUAF. So it's important that as this population grows, we still have that healthy amount of listeners becoming contributors. So that's why it's important that we also hear from new contributors, as well as our very much appreciated long-time
renewing and sustaining members, yes.
Right.
And as you mentioned, the costs for some of our programs are actually based on the population.
The market size.
Is that market size?
Yes.
Right. So, again, if you would like to make your contribution right now, you can do so at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. Also online at supportkuaf.com. So, did you have a good weekend, Kyle? I mean, the day I didn't see you?
That's right.
Because we were in here Saturday.
Right, Saturday. And thanks to all the local musicians, by the way, who came in and made Saturday night so fun because Mike Shirky had a handful of folks like Emily Cates and Ed Nicholson and Susan Shore, folks that came in and then
performed live. That was good.
Cabin House and
Garrett Jones and some
Steve Wilkes.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of fun. Yes, I did. Yesterday, caught up on things that I had to get done. Friday night, I did see Pride and Prejudice.
Yes, how was it? I didn't make it out there.
It was very interesting. It was LA Theater Works.
At the Walton Arts Center.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so the actors were in costumes.
Mm-hmm.
They read, obviously, it was about a 90-minute, two-hour performance, a condensed version of the Jane Austen book, which I have to admit I had never read. Never read it nor seen an adaptation. So this was all new to me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Most of the audience were big-time Jane Austen fans.
Yes.
So I found it quite interesting. And I know the people, I ran into several people in the lobby afterward who, devotees of Jane Austen and this book in particular, and they were thrilled with the performance.
Excellent.
Make me now want to read the whole book.
Yes, you should. I can let you borrow it if you need to.
Okay, well, thank you. Uh-huh. So I enjoyed that. And again, thanks to the musicians who came in on Sunday night and helped us out.
Oh, right. Or Saturday night.
Yes, Saturday night. Last night was Sunday night. That's correct.
Last night was Sunday. Today is Monday. Just fundraiser time is a little different.
It all blends together. But what doesn't blend together, well, actually, you know what?
Actually.
What does blend together? All the contributions made by listeners like you, because you don't have to pay all $160,000 to keep the station on the air during this fundraiser. That's our goal. You do your part.
You do your part.
And when we all come together, we make sure that this programs like Talk to the Nation, which is 30 seconds away, can still be on the air.
Give us a call now at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge your support online at supportkuaf.com.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Antoinette and I will be back here, right here in the Richard B. Atkinson studio tomorrow at noon for another brand new edition of Ozarks at Large.
We will. Right now, it's Talk of the Nation.
Good afternoon. It is 1 o'clock.